Hi, I'm Courtney Carthy. I'm the producer of Somehow Related and the host of a new show called Post Pandemic. It's all about what things might be like after the global pandemic. Find it where you're listening now. Search Post Pandemic and you'll get me talking to experts about the future.
Sunday, we decided to walk down to the shops and get something from the bakery. For you know, in the afternoon maybe, and I thought, oh, well, I better take some money. So I had a pair of tracksuit pants on, and I did something that wasn't very smart. I put 50 in my, because I thought 50 is probably safer in my pocket than
your wallet. Yeah,
because in a pair of tracky decks. So I was toying whether I'd take any money at all. I just thought I'll snap around some money. So we get down there, and I fill my pocket and I go, there's no 50 there.
Oh no.
So I think, then I went through the thing of going, did I put it in or didn't I?
Yeah.
Maybe I didn't. Maybe I was going to and I didn't. So I thought maybe I did. Anyway, so we walked back the same track and I'm looking everywhere and I'm, you know, looking at people up ahead, walking, bending forward, picking up anything.
Filthy criminals. I got to tell you, I saw $5 on the ground yesterday and I didn't pick it up. Because I just thought that could have virus on it, you know?
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I just thought.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. And I saw a My Key card on the ground too. I didn't pick that up either the other day. So
I have this theory, though. If you're picking up money, you're picking up someone else's bad luck. So
yeah, well, if it was 50, I'd pick it up. Five.
For 50, I'll put up with a bit of bad luck.
So what happened?
So anyway, so I go home and I get back and I look at my wallet. I knew I had 250s in my wallet and I get home, look at my wallet. There's only 150. I go, okay, I've done 50. And when I drop money like that, I go, that's annoying. And it sort of plays on your mind a bit. I'm going, you know what? It's what goes around comes around. You know, you win some, you lose some.
Someone deserving may have found it. You know what I mean? Someone who needed it more than you.
Yeah. So then
again, there's a lot of wealthy people in your area. So I don't know. Some guy wandering to his boat moored off the marina. Oh, there's some champagne. That's nice.
I then had to do my radio segment from the upstairs room. So I get on the radio, I like this show, and hi, how are you going? What's happened? And I go, look, I just went to the shops and I dropped 50 and, you know, it's not so bad, and had this sort of conversation that I'm having with you now.
Yeah, right.
And went on for a few minutes. And then I look at the calls board and a woman called Sarah is on the calls board saying, I found your 50.
What?
She found my $50. Because I think she knows where I live.
Yeah.
She's seen me down the park wandering around. Her husband saw the 50 and picked it up and went, well, there's our dinner for tonight. And she rang in. So I'm thinking, great, I've got my 50 back.
Drop it around, Sarah. Put it in the letterbox, just, Sarah.
Let's meet down the oval and I'll
like
wear
a bad drug deal. Yeah.
Yeah. So then the guy I do it with, Grubby, says to her, and what were you going to do with the 50? And she said, well, you know, we thought we'd support the local community, and the local restaurants are doing it hard at the moment, and we're going to get takeaway. So I've gone, bang, I'm not getting my 50 back. I can't ask for it now. I can't.
But you can ask for some of the food.
I said, well, you keep that money. Then I came out as being the good guy.
You're the good guy, money.
But give us a call next week and give us an update. I want to know what you had and from what restaurant. Give him a plug as well. And by the way, I'm a big tipper. So if it comes to about $40, bang it up to the 50. Everyone's a winner. And so I did say they've had a lovely night. And hopefully I'll get another radio segment out of it. But how's that? It's that scary world. Just goes to show that. And I sort of described where I live vaguely. I said, you're near a park.
Yeah, you're Bayside. North side. Yeah.
Yeah, North side. And she said, look, we've seen you around the place. And then we just got so many phone calls about people finding money, finding what do you call them, ATMs of money poking out of it, picking up wallets, picking up wallets of thousands of dollars. Most people handed them in except the last guy. The last guy rings up and he goes, so I was on a boat over in New Zealand and I saw some paper on the deck and I put my foot on it. I looked down, it was $200 New Zealand. And we said to him, what'd you do? Oh, well, I kept it. And we go, well, he goes, well, what could I do? I mean, everyone's going to own up to it's money. I said, look, all you, and we said to him, all you really needed to do is say, has anyone lost some money around here? And if someone puts up their hand, you say, I'll give it to you if you know how much it is.
Yeah.
And he went, oh, never thought of that. So we said to him, you're feeling bad now? He goes, yeah, not really. So he kept the 200. 200 New Zealand, what's that?
You've been New Zealand more than me. Yeah. It's similar, yeah, isn't it? Similar to here.
It's similar. It's not that far off. But anyway, so there's a little story about losing 50, and it's a small world, you know. If you're doing something wrong in the world, don't worry. People are watching. People know what you're up to.
Oh, yeah. So, God. Don't take up flashing down your local park, or else old Sarah will be ringing up.
Yeah, once was enough. Anyway, here comes the music.
Oh, here comes the music.
Related, and now please welcome your hosts Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Yes, and welcome to the podcast. Here we are. We're over Zoom, so we apologise for any.
Sounds all right.
Yeah, it's just,
makes a funny noise occasionally.
Doink. Okay. Yeah, and I was saying to Glenn, you can't. Normally, we do it in the same room in a studio, and you can't overestimate two people getting together in the one room. How good that can be. As I was saying, that's what they always try to get those Middle East guys together, don't they, in the one room at Camp David. Just imagine imagine Netanyahu and whoever, the Palestinian guy, negotiating over Zoom like this, just screaming at each other. But get him in the one room.
There's no, you've got to get in something. You've got to feel the energy in the room, you know, press a bit of flesh and maybe have a bit of a hug at the end and sort it all out.
And these Middle Eastern guys would have similarities. They, you know, once they get together, they start talking about their families and, do you like hummus? I like hummus. You know what I mean? And then.
I made some at home the other day and I brought it for you today. I mean, as soon as someone brings a little gift like that, you go, I want to work this out.
Yeah, but then you'd go, you taste it first. So I'm not tasting it. You have some. we're in negotiations here. Anyway,
that's funny. Anyway, it's the world right now, isn't it? What we're doing, it's the world right now. It's connecting through technology. And imagine, you know, when you think of older generations, when they went through the Depression or other, you know, world wars and stuff, they couldn't really keep in communication. We're lucky enough that we can see each other. We can obviously have phone calls. We can you know, do a lot of things that they couldn't do. So in that sense, we're very lucky. I'm not a big social media person, but right now social media is a really wonderful thing because important. It's connecting you with the world.
I tell you what, though, the old people, you can't stop them, though. My dad's 84. Rang him up yesterday. I'm like, so what have you done? He goes, oh, I went to Bunnings, went to Kmart, dropped into the church, went to the hospital because mum's having an operation. And then I'm like, was this in the last week? He goes, no, that was just this morning. It's like...
Yeah, I know.
Then again, every time I ring you, you're in Target or Kmart or Big W.
Well, at least it's legal. I mean, you know, as you say, what did you say? We have a death wish.
You've got a death wish.
And is it, I guess if it's not, you know,
every time I ring you, I put down the phone and I just say to Kieran and the kids, Glenn's at Bunnings again. And then everyone just laughs.
God, who would have ever thought that going to Bunnings was, you know, threatening your life, you know what I mean? But I guess it is, you know, we made it again. We survived again.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, my oven door's fallen off. The glass has fallen, sort of door's fallen off.
And you haven't done anything about it?
No, I rang up the Robert, the doorman, the oven man, who's been over here more often. He goes, I see you more than I see you, my brother. This guy, because my oven keeps breaking. He said, I don't want to come over. He goes, because as a handyman, he goes, people want you to come to their house all the time. And he goes, like, I don't know whether to trust them. When you go, have you been overseas or been on a cruise? He goes, but people could lie to you. I'm like, yeah. Yeah. So anyway, he told me what glue to get, and I've ordered it online from Bunnings, and they're sending it out to fix the door. So, again, I'll have to fix the door.
So you seriously, the only time you go out is to the supermarket?
Yeah. And go for walks, but that's just down the park and that with the kids. And I just go to the supermarket once a week. Yeah.
Wow, you're still like 13. You're the real deal. You're the total lockdown guy. You're the lockdown guy. You know what? They should have a competition for the best lockdown around in the country. You know.
Oh, well, I'd like to go out more, but yeah, my partner's very paranoid. So you know. Anyway, so I'm stuck here.
Okay. I'm somehow related. Two topics that don't seem to be related are. And they're given to us by Sam. And shall we find out what the topics are?
I think it's Glenn and Bunnings. Spotlight. Yeah.
Well, anyway. Don't get into what I did. I actually been painting the fence, which a lot of people are doing. A lot of painting.
Yes. Yeah. Up the road, they're doing that. Yeah.
And I'm just doing a touch up job. So I'm buying spray cans. So do a little suss. You know, buying a lot of black paint.
I'm tagging.
The fun part is you can do a pretend tag when you start off because you know you're going to paint over it.
Yeah, so
you can have a bit of a play around with a bit of, or you can do a dick and balls.
Dick and balls. You know. Yeah. Okay. We'll get our topics. Here we go. What are they?
The Queen and a Mechanic.
A mechanic.
She had an affair. Maybe she had an affair.
Oh, bang, straight off the bat. You've gone for the answer.
Well, you know, I'm an expert on the Queen now because I've been watching The Crown, because that's the one advantage about this virus is that I'm home a lot now at night, whereas normally I'd be out 4 or 5 nights a week doing gigs, but now I'm home. So I've been watching The Crown with my partner. And
I enjoyed the Crown,
haven't you? Yeah.
Every series, except the last series, only bits and pieces of. There's no doubt is it like the most expensive production ever created or something? Because it is immaculate. And not only that, you learn a little bit about history. A lot of the stories are reflected in terms of history, not just in terms of the journey of the royal family. They're usually up against, I like that, the mining episode where the town.
That was unbelievable. It was
tragic, wasn't it?
Where the landslide.
The landslide into the school.
Oh, terrible. Yeah, that one and the fog one was good with the fog, with Churchill built those power stations. I'm learning stuff. I didn't know this. We built all those inner city power stations and the smoke would push the fog down into London. And in the 50s, they had this fog for like a week and all these people died because no one could see anything in the streets.
Yeah.
A lot of crashes and stuff. So yeah, it's good.
It's really good. Yeah.
What am I up to? Olivia Colman's now playing the Queen. So the older Queen version of the Queen.
Oh yeah.
So it's not Claire Foy anymore. She's... They're
both very good,
aren't they?
Both incredible. Yeah, Claire Foy's. Yeah, Olivia Colman's just, you know, whatever she does, it's fantastic. But
I've noticed, Glenn, it's all about the voice. No, isn't it? You know, they have that, the Queen, they have that voice.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes. My fellow British people.
Oh, have a minute.
It's a little bit like that.
My husband and I. I loved it. I loved it in the one of Claire Foy. I keep saying the speech around the house where she confronts Philip about his philandering, you know, about his, because, you know, he's in his lunch club and he's just on the piss every night, Phil.
Yeah.
Phil the Greek. And she goes, I put it to you, Philip, I have never loved anyone more than just you. Can you honestly look at me and say the same thing? And he's like, oh. He couldn't really answer her, actually. Check the corgi.
Because he went off on that boat trip, didn't he? He just went off for a couple of years.
Yes, to Australia.
It was basically a boys' trip.
Yeah, the 56 Olympics. The 56 Olympics, yeah. Went to Papua New Guinea and played rugby with the locals and then just...
On the tear, yeah.
Yeah, but it was like...
In the name of the royal family.
It was an early version of the P&O Fair Stare the Funship, wasn't it? They're just on the piss, these sailors, and just going to these island nations and playing sport against them. Because they said he didn't like meetings or dinners, so they had all these just sporting events for him to compete with the locals. Yeah.
Not a bad gig. What was the what's the royal ship? The Queen, the Kiwi 2?
Yeah, the Kiwi 2. Yeah.
I was invited to go a tour of the Kiwi 2 when it came into town a couple of years ago. I've got to say, it smelt funny. I didn't like the smell. Yeah. It felt like a nursing home. And no wonder these places are like, as we know, with the whole coronavirus, you know, these places just feels like they're the perfect, place for a virus, just for it. Yeah. It's just this environment where it can just go round and round and round. And more and more potent. But anyway, the Queen. What was she born in? What is she? What is she in her 90s now?
94 was in the paper. She's 94. That's incredible.
Crowned in, she's been sitting on the crown, sitting on the throne, as we say. The longest monarch ever.
Longer than Queen Victoria. And poor old Prince Charles, who's not getting any younger. Will he ever be king? No. Will he ever be king?
She's just hanging on. And she's doing a cracking job, you know. She made a little speech the other day, which was very good, I thought. I give her top marks. The speech she made in terms of the virus, that, you know. Like those crap, we will never surrender type of thing, you know.
I can't remember
some of the words she used were very apt, but anyway. What else?
The Queen.
She loves her corgis.
Loves her corgis, loves horse racing too. She loves horses. Because I did a gig with Brownie, not Jonathan Brown, Nathan Brown, who played for Hawthorne. You know, he's a big AFL player, and he's also a big horse person. And he sold the Queen. He sold the Queen a horse for when they do football club nights, and he tells it in his story about how he sold the Queen a horse for $500,000, and then she was trying to negotiate with him, and say, I will give you $300,000 and you can come over and meet us. That was part of the deal, to have dinner.
She's throwing in the old get to meet the Queen and get a better price.
Yeah, and he's like, well, I'm not really a royalist. And he's the other guys he was with, the part of the same consortium, whatever they're called, they're like, no, we don't want to meet the Queen. But it would be kind of cool, going to Buckingham Palace or wherever. And so they got it up to $500,000. And then she said, but the dinner's off the table now. No dinner.
Oh, that's fantastic. And so
they flew this horse over, and it was a female horse. And then they, of course, put it with all these studs to try and have, but it never gave birth to another horse. And so they sold her a dud, basically, because she bought it for breeding. She bought it to breed, and it never had a horse. They dudded the Queen. Yeah, she's one of the biggest racehorse owners in England, the Queen.
I mean, and seriously, when she's doing a bit of negotiation, you're going, seriously, I think you got the money. I think you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
I think we all know that you've got deep pockets. And
it'd be like Woolworths ringing you up or me wanting to do an ad of them saying, but we've got no money. Really?
Yeah, that's right.
You're the one business that's profiting from this. Dan and Bunnings, they're profiting from this virus.
I'm working on a very small budget at the moment, and I can't.
You love Phil? I love what Phil else? Though. Phil, I love Phil, the husband, Phil the Greek. Just he's they had a little bit of it in the Crown, but not a lot. You know, he would make off color remarks. You know what I mean? Like when he
inappropriate statements. Yeah, very quite racist, wasn't he? And patronising.
He went to, I think it was Bulgaria or Romania or somewhere like that, and he said to some guy, well, you haven't been here very long. You don't have a pot belly. and then he spoke to a group of women in a women's collective in Scotland. He said, so who are you lot sponging off? It's like, well, who are you sponging off? Phil, you old bugger.
Well, I guess when you evolve in that environment, you're not in touch with what's really going on and what's appropriate. Yeah. And you should be. You should. I mean, there's no excuses.
Well, they say that
completely out of touch.
The Queen thinks the world smells like fresh paint because everywhere she goes, is painted fresh.
Is Prince Philip her third cousin?
Yeah,
I think he might be.
Yeah, yeah, because her
Mountbatten. How did Mountbatten fit into it?
No, Mountbatten was sort of his uncle or something like that, wasn't it? His mum was Queen Victoria's daughter. I don't know. It's all in the Crown, Glenn. It's all in the Crown.
Yeah, it's all in the Crown. Just go watch the Crown, and you'll watch all that.
Don't listen to us for facts. We don't have the facts. Anyway,
we'll be on the throne. Anyway.
Long time.
Anything else we can? Anything?
No. I'm not a royalist, but she has done a good job, you know, over the years for what she has to do.
Oh, there's no doubt. Oh, she's been had. Anna Horribilis, didn't she have that year where Windsor burnt down and all the kids separated and she all that stuff would die. When Lady Di passed away tragically, the people turned on her. They really did.
Yeah.
And she had to sort of change her approach because what did they say in one of the episodes of The Crown? Royalty don't go to hospitals. They go to locations or something. Is that what she said?
Yeah.
And they also had to change her approach.
They're not meant to have opinions either. She keeps saying we're neutral. You know, we don't have opinions.
Yeah.
Anyway,
she enjoys gin and tonic. I know she has
Yeah, she drinks a lot. If you look at what she drinks every day, it's incredible.
It is like a gin and tonic before lunch, a wine with lunch, and then she has champagne every night.
Yeah, she's a pisshead.
Basically. She was probably on the piss when she was doing that in a negotiation. No wonder she was taking a hard line with him. She was probably off her nut.
Anyway. The horse. Campbell Brown, Campbell Brown, sorry, who owns the racehorses. I've just remembered his name.
She has her own poet.
What?
She has her own poet. Oh, look, I probably shouldn't talk about this, but no, I better not talk about it because I said.
Go on. What, you met the poet?
I know someone who's a professional, and he was deemed the professional medically that would treat Prince Charles if he came to Australia.
Because
when they come to a country.
Yeah, you've told me about this before. Yeah, he's on call.
Yeah, I won't say what, because he said, please never tell anybody. But because they have to have a doctor, a dentist, a psychiatrist, and they don't bring them with them. And they send out a letter and they go, if he needs something, we'll be knocking on your door.
Wow. There you go.
So you probably have to have a doctor for all different bits and bobs, wouldn't he?
He's probably got a podiatrist. Well, have you seen, like, say, Dettol? Yeah. The Dettol, for example, has got the Queen's stamp of approval on it. Have you noticed that with some products have the royal stamp of approval or something like that? Yeah. So I wonder if she turns her nose up at Pinoclean. No, we must have Dettol, not Jif. No Jif or Pinoclean. Just the Dettol. Thank you. Yeah, have a look. It's on the bottle. Oh, let's move on to mechanics.
Mechanics. You know who I think of straight away? Kylie Minogue.
Why?
Because she was a mechanic in Neighbours.
She left to go to Brisbane, didn't she? She never came back.
Did she leave to go to Brisbane?
Yeah, Brisbane. They always used to go to Brisbane. Going to Brisbane.
Yeah, to Wanton or something. Yeah.
Female mechanics.
I know in my history.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to say about female mechanics.
Unusual. You don't see many female mechanics. There must be some.
No, you don't see that many females. Yeah, there must be some. There's no reason why there shouldn't be. But I know when I was growing up, sort of working on your car was kind of something that a lot of people did kind of out in the street, out the front of the house. People always had to bonnet up, or cars up on blocks or rebuilding something. Well, nowadays you never do that. I don't know whether I open up my bonnet and I look at it and I go, I have no idea.
There's big plastic units. Well, that's the thing. I remember, you're right, and people would have their garages, the Kendalls we used to hang around with, and the older boy who would have been 18 or 19, he worked as a mechanic during the day, and at night he would come home, put the radio on, and just stay in that garage working on his car all night.
Tinkering and rebuilding and if something went wrong with the car, you didn't go down to the mechanic. You'd do it yourself. Oh, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just putting a new carburetor on it, or I'll put a turbocharger or something. A new muffler was always the one. It was always like, a new muffler. Because mufflers were a big deal when I was young. It turned a normal car into a hot car had that special Midas muffler put onto it.
That noise.
I was never really an engine guy, but I did have a mini bike. We got an old lawnmower, and my uncle had an engineering factory, and they built me the bike, and they put the Victor lawnmower on it.
Oh, fantastic!
And, it worked once, and then just never worked again. And my mates had proper ones; they had the real deal. They had the real mini bikes, that was, you know, so envious of those guys who had the real deal.
I remember going to the tip, and next to the tip was a mini bike track. And you just look at those kids going, oh, I want a mini bike. But those kids, much fun. Yeah. But yeah, my dad was a mechanic. Well, he was an airplane mechanic. Helicopters, you know, but he would often spend time in his garage fixing the cars and stuff. But also, I reckon dad's
a mechanic.
Yeah, but they also would do that thing where they maintain their cars. So they change the oil, for example.
Yeah.
Whole afternoon, Kev changing the oil. Got to change the oil, and they drip it out or whatever they have to do. And now...
into a tray underneath and stuff. Yes. Yeah. Because mine comes up... now it tells me off. It goes, do you realise that you've only got 100 kilometres before you need an oil change? And you go, you feel a bit guilty. It feels like you're being reprimanded by the car. I told you that story where I was driving down... the road, and then this light came on with water spurting out of it, and it started to, and it was beeping like every 10 minutes. And so I rang Audi and said, the light with the water on it is flashing. And he said, is it flashing orange or red? I said, it's only flashing orange. He goes, oh, okay, you're okay for a little while, but if it goes red, stop the car and we'll send out a truck.
What?
And so I'm thinking, oh, what's going on? The Audi's about to blow up. So I let it go for a couple of days, and it never went red. And then I realised it was my windscreen wiper water. It was not.
Would have loved
it. It wasn't my water.
Would have loved the truck to come out for that.
Mate, it's your windscreen water that's gone down. It's not your actual water. I mean, I reckon I could put water in my car and I could put petrol in it, but I rarely check the oil because it's like it all gets done in that, you know.
Yeah, they do.
There was a time when I remember checking the oil.
Oh, definitely.
It was like, a bit of a show off. Check the oil, dip it in, put the dipstick in, get the bit of paper out. You go,
clean the dipstick. Clean the dipstick, then put it back in. Yeah.
And if it comes up between the two lines, then you might need a little bit of oil. And then I'd go into the
servo,
and then I wouldn't know which oil. Yeah.
Back in those days, the guy behind the counter knew what oil. These days, they've got not that much idea, I reckon, some of the guys behind the counter of the servo.
They don't.
Back in the old days. Have you ever worked for mechanics? Have you ever worked in a mechanics?
No.
I worked for a while. Yeah. Well, when I got sacked from my professional job in the 80s, I started doing comedy, and then I just got jobs, you know, as a storeman and stuff like that. And one job I got was working with these two mechanics, Jack and John, and they were in their 60s, I reckon. They seemed really old, but they're probably just in their 60s. Mm-hmm. And they worked for a big, corporate organization. So they do all the fleet cars, you know, they had to wash the cars, maintain like 30 cars or something, at least had to maintain. And I was like their assistant for a while, it was so funny.
What did you do?
I did a lot of washing of the cars and stuff like that. Any kind of manual stuff.
Good gig.
Yeah. Because on the outside, they were such lovely old guys, but they were filthy once I didn't realize because you'd see them talking to the ladies and stuff. And like, so some lady would bring back her car and there you go. Oh, hello, Doris. How are you? How's the hubby? How's the kids? Oh, very good. Thank you, Jack. Thank you, John. You're doing a great job. And then she'd walk off. And he'd go, wouldn't you love to? Oh, bloody, what would you do, mate? I'll tell you what I do. Oh, my God. It was so shocking because I was like 23. It was like I was very naive to these. And they seemed like such lovely old guys. But as soon as the women were out of earshot, oh, bloody hell, mate. Yeah, she'd go off, mate. Yeah. They're like comedy characters.
I reckon when they do the Dave O'Neill biopic, I reckon that's your opening scene.
In the mechanics.
Dave, you know. Yeah, just watching the car down, hearing a bit of the dirty talk and going, oh, there's a big world out there. Oh, gee. Oh, wow.
I also remember Jack, his wife used to love musicals, but he used to fall asleep as soon as the lights would go down. And so he'd come in, he'd go, went and saw Cats last night. Oh, what was that like? I don't know. Just imagine.
No idea.
His wife retired for snoring during Cats.
That's not the time I took my mother to the opera. And I got halfway through and I just went, oh, I'm not handling this. And I met a friend out at interval and said, they said, do you want to go for a drink? So I went for a drink for the second half and Mum watched the other half. And I just came back and picked her up. Had a lovely night. It's really good.
That's fantastic. I still maintain.
She was too impressed.
Santo Chilari's got the best story like that. He took his kid to, told us this. He took his kid to see Oliver. And at half time, he bought his kid an ice cream and said, that's it, let's go. It's finished.
Yeah. Did you enjoy it? I think so.
But yeah, Oliver's still in the poorhouse. Yeah, that's how it ends up. Anyway.
Did I tell you about the time that I was I had to check my oil in my car and a friend said, can you just pop the bonnet? And I didn't know how to pop the bonnet. I couldn't find the lever.
Yeah, with high cars, it can be like that, I reckon. Yeah. That's embarrassing.
But I'd had this car for about, I don't know, I reckon 6 months, and I hadn't ever popped the bonnet.
It's embarrassing.
And I had to go onto YouTube and look up how to pop the bonnet. And someone had done a piece on it, how to pop a bonnet on an Audi. And in fairness to me, it wasn't an actual lever. You just pulled a bit of the paneling back. It sort of sat right into the panel underneath near your legs. But really embarrassing. I'm glad it didn't happen like at a, you know, petrol station or anything like that.
Yeah. That's embarrassing.
So what else can we say about...
mechanics. Well, they always do...
You go on.
I reckon they have a suit and tie charge. As soon as you walk in with your car with the suit and tie on, they charge you an extra $100. You know, I reckon they do that for sure.
And I know when they go through the list of what they've done, they see you glaze over and they're going, yeah, we've replaced the spanner operator and the speedo cable to the your Wiesenheim.
The spring. Have you got a good regular mechanic that you use? Have you got a good regular...
No, I just take it to Audi and, you know, they charge me a fortune and I get a loaner car and I pass it over and they go, and I just look down, I just run right down there, look at the bottom and go, okay, I pay that price. I usually get a service once a year and it costs me about, I don't know, $500, $800. Yeah. And if it's a big one, it costs me about $1,200 or something. And at least I don't have to worry about it the rest of the year. So, you know, I don't worry about it.
I've got a fantastic local guy called Rob. And
that's good.
Yeah, and he's an honest guy, you know, like, mate.
Yeah.
Could be time for you to just fucking get rid of this one, I reckon. I reckon it's not going to last much longer. I reckon you get rid of it.
I had a mechanic like that. Yeah. That's and it's great when they give it to you straight.
Yeah. Yeah. He goes, this car is not going much longer. And then, but we have, you know, I've got a little Golf that my wife doesn't want to drive. She reckons it's, but he goes, no, mate, it's fine. He fixed it up a bit. He goes, that's fine. He goes, you might as well drive it around. Yeah, you got to pay $800 rego. You might as well drive it until it drops, basically. But yeah,
I had my last Audi or the Audi before that. The last Audi did 360,000 Ks. Mm. And he said, you may as well just keep on driving it because it's going fine. And then he said, okay, you need to get rid of it really quickly because it's about to completely go. Yeah, and I just walked in, bang, sold it, and, you know.
Off we go. All right. Well, should we have some thinking music? Let's have some thinking music. Let's have some.
What can we have? A scene from Neighbours, Kylie Minogue talking about mechanics.
That would be funny.
A scene from The Crown, the music from The Crown. Scene from The Crown. I know what's good is the national anthem, the British national anthem, when they sing it at the soccer.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because they're good at singing at the soccer.
Yeah, has that real rouse? When we do it, I don't know. They really commit to the rousing.
We don't. Yeah, Australians don't. But they do. Oh, let's have a listen to that. Listen to that.
Yeah.
Upstanding for that. Remember we used to sing God Save the Queen at school and we'd change the lyrics? Remember that? God save our Biggie Tin, don't let the flies get in. Because you're older, you remember we used to sing it at the start of school every day, didn't we? Remember that in assembly?
Yeah.
God save our Biggie Tin. Oh, hilarious.
You didn't, at Scouts, you never sang it, did you?
We did occasionally, yeah. Because when you became a Scout, you pledged your alliance to God and the Queen. Oh, yeah.
Because you were a Queen, you were a Queen Scout?
No, I was a Rover. I was a Cub Scout.
Is that one below a Queen Scout?
Yeah, well, Queen Scout's like an individual achievement where you've got to do a lot of work, and I couldn't be bothered. So
you were too hard down working down the mechanics, just do a bit of dirty talk.
Yeah, what do you reckon, mate?
What are we going to
I'm going to say that she had an affair with a mechanic. She had an affair with her mechanic because we know, well, it's very much in the Crown that Phil got out there and about. So I reckon the young Queen was very fond of her mechanic.
I'm going to say, because I've seen her where she gets out there and gets a bit dirty, where she gets out there and drives the four-wheel. You know that she doesn't have a license. She's one of the few people in the UK that doesn't have to have a license, but she still gets out there and she drives around and she does a bit of the dirty work. I'm wondering whether or not, because during the war, a lot of people trained us. I mean, her grandkids are like were in the army and trained as pilots and so forth.
Yes.
I wonder during the war whether she might have done a bit of something where she did something for the forces in terms. She wouldn't have been trained as a mechanic though, would she? She might have been. She might have done her bit, you know.
Maybe.
So I'm going to say she has trained as a mechanic. Shot in the dark.
All right. Well, then what's the answer, Sam?
During the Second World War in 1945, then Princess Elizabeth, later Queen Elizabeth II, at her own insistence, according to the Royal Collection Trust, she joined the Auxiliary Territorial Service as a subaltern and trained as a truck mechanic and driver. On the King's orders, she was to be granted no special privileges. You can see photos using the links in the episode notes, and Dave, a quick thank you to the source.
Actually, that was actually sent in by Mick, a listener, too. We have to give Mick the credit where credit's due. Thanks, Mick. You're right, Glenn.
I know a lot of people during the war, they, you know, stood up and I just can't imagine her doing it, doing the hard yards. But I dare say she was seen to do something, as in, you know, doing her bit. Maybe it was
I think it is mentioned in The Crown because she does, at one point she does fix a car and she says, yeah, that's right, that's got my memory going, that she says, I was a mechanic or something in the war. And there are photos of her in the war. I've seen photos of her in a uniform, so maybe it's a mechanic's uniform.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
So there we go.
Yeah. There we go.
Imagine going to get your car fixed and she's there. What's wrong?
You needed an oil change, and I've retuned the carburetor.
What if she makes a little speech? I put it to you that this car was in bad condition when you gave it to me. And my husband and I, I always think of that Kenny Everett joke. Remember that Kenny Everett joke where the bloke breaks down and he goes, "What's wrong with you? What's wrong with your motorbike?" And he goes, "Oh, piston broke." He goes, "Yeah, I know you are, but what's wrong with your motorbike?" Get it? Pissed and broke. Kenny Everett. Oh, well, enjoy isolation, Glenn. You got to go to off the Bunnings now? What's your day looking like today? Big W, then Safeway?
I was trying to think of all the different ways all the different terminology you've got. You've got cabin fever. You've got same. You've got Groundhog Day.
Yes.
You've got another go on the merry-go-round.
Yeah.
But people keep on talking about forgetting what day it is, and I seriously do forget what day it is.
And it's a
shitty feeling when you go, you thought it was Thursday and it's only Tuesday. Oh, God. And I've got nothing. Because I work off a diary, and I look down at my diary, and it's just nothing.
Oh, same here. I've got nothing going on. But anyway.
So,
Anzac Day would have gone by now. It was on Saturday. But I was talking to Dad, who, of course, is a veteran. I said, "What are you going to do?" He goes, "Well, you can't do anything. You can't do nothing. So he's just going to watch it on TV. So
Yeah.
Normally he marches or he goes to the RSL, but not this year. No, nothing. So it's a real shame.
Anyway, so I wish we had a joke or something to end on a light note. You know, any Queen jokes?
Well, I'm trying to think of the Queen. Well, the only bit of stand-up I used to do about the Queen, imagine going out for the Queen, right, and then trying to, and you have a bad breakup, and you go, I never want to see her again. But every time you pull out a coin from your wallet, there's her face staring at you. There she is.
That's a good bit of stand-up.
Oh, my gosh, she's haunting me.
What's that joke? I won't do it justice. Where Prince Charles comes to Australia and he's wearing a fox's hat.
And
someone says, Prince Charles, why are you wearing a fox's hat? Because I said to my mother, I'm going to Australia. And she said, wear the fox hat. Where the fox that? Wear the fox that.
That's so pretty good.
I'm now being disappointed.
That's pretty good.
I didn't do it very well.
No, where the fox
hat. Where the fox hat. Where the fox hat.